of us believe in, we believe in making our life count to different things, to community, to charity. That is not what we are talking about today. I have a standing order to be paying a particular charity because they do cancer research. That is fine. I'm making my life to count onto good works in another sphere, in another dimension. But we are talking about how to make our life count onto the Lord. Unto the Lord, for the Lord. So the question you want to ask yourself is that, what does it mean for you? What does this one mean to you? What does it mean to make your life count unto the Lord? There's so many things we can see from this, but one thing that I want us to see that is how to spend your life such that you do things that end up in promoting the kingdom and the gospel of our Lord. You do things that end up in promoting the kingdom and the gospel of the Lord. Now, I'm going to read two scriptures that will give us a firm foundation of meaning, or what it means to make our life count unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you to open your Bible to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Well, if you can't open it quickly, I'll put it on the screen. You can see it on the screen. The Bible says, for this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So if Jesus was going to make his life count unto the Lord, was going to make his life count for the Lord, all you have to do is begin to look throughout the life of Jesus, and you should be able to trace everything he does to this purpose. What the Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifested. Now God looked down on earth, and he could not send Angel Gabriel, he could not send Angel Michael, because there was a purpose that could only be accomplished by one man. And for that reason, he sent the Son of Man to come and fulfill that purpose. So the Lord, there's something, there's so many years ago that the Lord had probably traveled into the future, and he came into year 2014. He said, oh, I think there is something in 2014 that Soji needed to do. So God came back into the present, and he caused me to be born because there was something, and maybe God wanted me to go to West Africa and begin to lay hands on people with Ebola, and so that there's not going to be any need for experimental drug. Maybe that was his mission. And now I am now in the UK. I'm going to Florida. I'm flying and gallivanting the whole world, and people are dying of Ebola. So you cannot say, and maybe I'm giving to charity, I am committed to so many communal wherever. You cannot say that I am making my life count unto the Lord with respect to the purpose for which he sent me. Because he wanted me to go to West Africa and lay hands on people with Ebola virus and heal them. But I'm not doing that. But if you look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38, where God has not sent me. If he did, I would say, God, can you send me somewhere else? Praise the Lord. There are some people God has given the grace. Because this is why we need to know that it's not just jumping on anything. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Because there was a purpose and there was a commensurate level of anointing that was needed for that job to be done. So how God anointed Jesus of Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. But one thing that Jesus Christ did, why that a lot of us don't do, is that thing in the red letter. The Bible says, and he went about doing good. Now, there was the purpose, there was the empowerment, there was the anointing. But the Bible says Jesus Christ actually stepped into what the Lord caused him to, why the Lord brought him, why he was manifested. And the Bible says he went about doing good and healing them that were oppressed. And if you go back, that he may destroy the works of the devil, and healing them that were oppressed. You can trace that destroying the works of the enemy or the works of the devil, you can trace it back to healing them that were oppressed. Because that was what he did, which was in line with why he was sent here. So are you making your life count unto the Lord? It's very good for us to come to church, to praise the Lord, to worship him. That's fantastic. But when we grow old and we close our eyes in death and we get to heaven, what will be said of you? Will it be said that you made your life count with respect to the reason why he sent you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The next thing is, how did you get here? Now we read about Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was manifested. The Bible says he was manifested to destroy the works of the enemy. So how did you get here? What is your reason why you were born? If you open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. If you can open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. It's a scripture which you all know. The Bible says, I was formed. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Because let me just open to that. There's one key word that I want to read from here, from there. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Or can we put it on the screen if possible? The Bible says, you were formed. The Lord formed you because there was something that only you can do. And that is why you find yourself here. The next question you want to ask, the Bible says, behold, I formed you in the womb. I knew you before you were born. And this is the point I was trying. I knew you before you were born. So before 2014, before wherever you were born, God knew you because there was something in his mind that he was going to do. Praise the Lord. And if you can open to Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. There was a time that the angels, they were busy in the Lord's factory in heaven. They were going to make a big farm. They were going to create a big farmhouse. And they've done everything. They've tilted the ground. They've planted everything. And angel Gabriel was just about to switch on the rain. And he said, Lord, can I switch on the rain? And God said, no, don't switch on the rain. I mean, you're not going to see this story in the Bible the way I'm telling you. But that was what happened. He said, don't switch on the rain. He said, because what? Because there's going to be man that will be needed to walk on this land. If you switch on the rain and have not made man, it's not going to give the right result. So they stopped the rain from coming. Water had to come from the ground to wet the plant until there was a man to till the ground. Can you please go back to the presentation again? If you want to know that the Lord, if you want to ask yourself, why am I here? There is something in the mind of the Lord. And the Lord is actually waiting for you to say, I am ready. The Lord is actually waiting. There are so many things that will have happened or that should have happened. And the Lord stopped from happening. As we have read from Genesis chapter 2 verse 5. That the Lord stopped from happening. Because the Lord is waiting for you to say, here am I. Use me. And I'm not trying to say some of us have not found our purpose. Some of us have found our purpose. We have connected to our purpose. And I just want to appreciate our pastors for they have found their purpose and the Lord is using them to live their purpose. And there was something recently that Pastor Tumishi, without notice, she had to come to our house and she spent a whole day in our house. No, and it wasn't something that she planned to do. And I was like, there was a time we had one prayer, we had another when watch night service. She was telling us about when we finished praying in the evening. Pastors still stayed on the webinar praying till 3 a.m. praying with everybody. They have found their purpose and they are living their purpose. The question is, are you making your life count unto the Lord? Are you doing what the Lord has asked you to come and do? I know that some of us, the Lord may have given us the opportunity to live our lives in the secular world and to bring glory unto the Lord. There are some, like the testimony we had, that man must have lived a life that is worthy of praise. They saw his character. They saw the way he lived, and they said, "We like your character, your outlook. That is good. That is necessary. But don't let get that confused with what exactly the thing that has eternal purpose, the thing that is connected to just the business of the Lord alone." So that is the question today. Praise the Lord. So we have just read Genesis chapter 2 verse 5. Now, the next question is that why do you need to bother at all? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 12 to 14. It's a scripture you all know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 12 to 14. The Bible says why you need to bother is because there's going to be a test. There's going to be a test. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. From verse 12 to 14. He says, now if any man build upon the foundation gold, If you use gold to build, or you use silver or precious stones or wood or hay or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if a man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he will receive a reward. So the question is, why do you need to bother? You will receive a reward. But even if you don't receive a reward, we know about the three Hebrew children. He said, the God that we serve is able to save us. And if God decides not to save us, we will still not bow down. Even if you are not promised a reward, are you going to make your life count unto the Lord? Praise the Lord. Now, Proverbs 19 from verse 21. This is one of the most shocking thing about why you need to make your life count unto the Lord. Proverbs, can you please, this one we need to read it. Can you please put it on the screen? Proverbs 19:21 and Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. There are many plans in the heart. Nevertheless, the Lord counsels that will that will stand. Please, can we read Isaiah 46 verse 10 in NIV, please? NIV, Isaiah 46 verse 10 in NIV. It says, nevertheless, the Lord counsel will stand. In other words, this is one thing that I can remember. I can't remember exactly when, but so many years ago that, again, it's Pastor Tumishe. The care leaders, we were having a meeting, and she asked me to share something with the care leaders. And so many people who know me, they know that my favorite character in the Bible is Nehemiah, because Nehemiah was a man that he was not called like Moses. He just saw something was wrong, and he plugged into it, and he did. And there was another man called Anani. We're going to get there, who could have done something, but he didn't do that. So I shared from the book of Nehemiah, and I said, one thing I try to do is when I find myself working for the Lord or in any ministry or any capacity, I don't wait to be called. I try to plug myself into what I think is not working. And because I try to say that the Lord, if I don't plug myself, that thing might not get done. He said, that's a very good spirit. But let me tell you, if you don't do it, the Lord will raise somebody else. And that changed my perspective. I don't know if she could remember. Changed my perspective to, yeah, it's good to be used for the Lord. But the Lord, the Bible says, are we there? Isaiah 46 10. It says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient time, what it's to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. In other words, the Lord is going to push you aside, because his purpose will stand. If the Lord wants to use you, if the Lord did a time travel and he came into the future and he said, there is only one person that I need to make to solve this problem, and he made you, but the Lord can never be caught red-handed. He has always got a plan B. There's somebody else that is warming up. We see that in football. There's somebody that is warming up. If you don't plug yourself into what the Lord wants you to do, he said, my purpose will stand. So that is why you need to bother about how to make your life count for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we please move and come back to the screen? This screen refuses to work anytime I'm coming here to. Praise the Lord. Now, the next thing is that why people don't strive to make their lives count. Now, we've talked about, yes, it is the will of the Lord. We need to make our life count for the Lord. We need to understand the purpose, why we have sent it. Now, what we are talking about here is that the Lord has something in mind. There's something the Lord wants to accomplish, why he created you. And you need to make your life count towards that. We read from 1 John about Jesus Christ that for this reason he was manifested. And we read in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that he went about doing good, doing exactly why he was manifested. So the question is, are you doing, is your everyday counting towards what the Lord has asked you to come and do? Praise the Lord. Now we're going to move to the next one, which is why people don't strive to make their lives count for the Lord. Now, Psalm 82, verse 5 to 7, it's a scripture some of us know. He said, I have said you are God, but you walk on in darkness, and the foundation of the earth is out of course. The Bible says, I say, ye are gods. and you are the children of the Most High. But because you walk on in darkness, because you choose to be ignorant of what the Lord has called you to come and do, because you choose to seek or to propel yourself or to drive yourself or to push yourself to understand why you were sent here, the Bible says the foundations of the earth were out of course. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Then the next one is Nehemiah, which we just talked about. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Some knew, but were not convinced, or they refused to catch the fire or grab the opportunity. Now, some of us knew the Lord asked you to come and do. Some of us, you know the things that the Lord has in mind where you were created. You are not doing it, not because of lack of knowledge, but because you refuse to grab the opportunity, refuse to catch the fire. I'm going to move quickly through this section. You can write the scriptures down. John chapter 3, verse 34. Some knew, but they lack the conviction. They lack the conviction to do it. That's failure to employ resources. The Bible says that if you can, let's quickly open to John chapter 3, verse 34. John 3, 34. John 3:34 says, I'm going to read from here. You may not need to take the screen away. For he whom I always love this scripture, for he whom God has sent. If you have you, some of us were used to not opening the Bible but seeing on the screen. So let me read it to you. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives not the spirit by measure. But that's King James, and it's a bit confusing, but let me change it to a modern day English. For God gives him spirit immeasurably. That God gave unlimited level of spirit. Because of what? Because God has sent him. So because God did a time travel, he came into when be from so many years before this world was formed, God knew you, then he sent you into this world, like Pastor Tumje was speaking about how they were sent from Trinity Chapel to Milton Keynes. And the Lord gave them spirit without measure. That's why we see testimonies. That's why we see things happening. That's why you are seated here today. Because the Lord gave them every equipment. Praise the Lord. So some people, they don't know what they need or fail to develop or acquire the right resources. Some of these resources, they need to be polished. Praise the Lord. The reason why people is Isaiah 54. Okay, that's good. Isaiah 54. Let me just tell us what that is, or I can come back so that we can see it. Isaiah 54, 22, verse 4. Some knew and were convinced, but haven't understood the place of perfect timing. There's a time for everything to do whatever the Lord has asked us. Some of us knew what we needed to do. We understand the Lord has spoken to us through different forms and shapes. But is it that we are too busy or we don't have time at all? And it's a bit confusing to me when, say, have you been doing what the Lord has been asking you to do? There's no time. Now, what have you been doing? I've been busy. You have time to do some other things, but you don't have time to do what the Lord. So it's not a question of no time. It's a question of not knowing how to place your time, how to plan your time. Everybody has 24 hours in a day. Praise the Lord. So let's move to, has anyone ever made his life count for the Lord? Now, I'm going to use some pictures here because we are getting into how, what you need. Because if all we said today is about the Lord has a purpose for your life, you need to make your life count for the Lord. And there is nothing about, okay, what can I do to begin to make my life count unto the Lord? Then we have not really done anything. So we're going to now begin, we're getting into what exactly do I need to do? Mr. Preacher, tell me what I need to do so that I can make my life count to the Lord. That is what we want to get into now. Now, has anyone ever, we want to learn from people who have made their lives count unto the Lord, and you can grab. So the essence of this exercise is you are going to look for one thing, just one thing in the life of some people that we are going to look at, and you are going to see how you also need to begin to look at your life to make your life count unto the Lord. So the current U.S. president is, of course, we know it's Barack Obama. And he's going to finish in 2017. So he's going to be the next president. Some people, okay, you don't know. Okay, I have a man I'm going to recommend there. That's the man. How many of us know George Osborne? That's the current, let's say finance minister, for some of us who, let's say it in vernacular. That's finance minister for United Kingdom. Now, this man has done tremendously well by transforming the economy after the recession. The UK economy is doing very well now, and the things are looking very positive. The only thing is trying to quench the property or housing bubble. Now, this man, if I tell you this man, let's imagine this is 2017, and this man has won the United States American presidential, and he's now the president. Now, this is an exercise. There's one key contributor about this man that could have made him to become United States president. How many want to make a guess? Okay, some people say C, they are right. So this man, because of his understanding of the economy, he has now been made the president of the United States. Now, we have understood this exercise. Now, let's look at some real men in the Bible. Now, David, if you have never known David before, David was a man that made his life count for the Lord. If you have never known David before, if the only time you will ever meet David, it was in 1 Samuel chapter 33, verse 37, when Goliath came upon the scene and he was threatening that, give me a man that I'm a fight with. Give me a man that can come and fight with me. I have come to defy the armies of straw. And David, if this is the man, and David said, you know what, I have fought. This made me to begin to think about different kinds of wars in the Bible. There are some wars that they were offensive. That means Israelites were not provoked, but they just, especially the wars they fought when they were going through to possess the land. As they were going through to possess the land, they had to fight on wars and make sure they possess the land. But one thing about this man, if a lot of his wars were not offensive, where they came to plunder us and he would pursue and overtake. And you can trace this man back to while he was young. A lion came to snatch the sheep, and he pursued the lion and hit the lion, killed the lion, and he grabbed the sheep back. Now, so this man, there is something about this man, which is the passion to pursue and to take back. He will never, never allow. So one thing you can say, if you can say, why did he make his life count to the Lord? There is something the Lord has planted in his life, right from when he was young, before he knew there was going to be a Goliath to fight, before there was going to be so many wars to fight, there was something in him. So begin to look at your life. What is that something in you that you know is very dominant? Maybe the Lord gave you that thing because you will need it to make your life count unto him. So from a boy fighting lion to snatch the sheep back, he became a man with national wars. Now look at Moses. Look at Moses. Moses' own was not about passion to snatch back. Moses' own was about passion. Moses would not stand oppression. Moses came up one day and he saw some people and they were fighting, they were hitting the Hebrews. And the Bible says he hit the man and he killed the man because he would never, never stand oppression. And do you know, were you not surprised why the Lord used him to deliver the Israelites from oppression? Because there was something about him. So begin to look at your life. So what is this in your life that the Lord has wired? When you were being made, the Lord looked at some of the artifacts. The Lord looked at intelligence, he put it in you. He looked at beauty, he put it in you. The Lord looked at IQ, he gave it to you. There was something in God's mind why he gave you all those things. Are you using them to make them count for the Lord? These are men who used the thing the Lord gave them. Now, Abraham, his own case was different. It wasn't a case of using something the Lord had given. It was a situation that he was passing through. And the Lord, when you say there was one man who demonstrated the word faith in the Bible, it was because Abraham. And if you call Abraham father of faith or a faith demonstrator, and you want to trace back, you will trace it back to the years where he was trusting the Lord for a child. What are you crying unto the Lord for? What have you been praying that it looks as if it's not moving? The Bible says, what are you? I've been praying, you've been praying, you fasted, and it's not moving. Could it be that something needs to come out of that thing so that your life will begin to count for the Lord? Now, I'm trying to provoke you to begin to look at your life, not just only what the Lord had given you, not just your talent, but your circumstances, your situations, the things that will not abate, the storm, the things you're passing through. Could it be, the Bible tells us that we may comfort others from the comfort that we have received. So God has that formula that For you to make your life count for other people, to comfort them, to counsel them, to pray for them, to guide them, the Lord has that formula that you may have to receive comfort yourself before you can comfort others. And here you are, you're passing through that thing, and voila, you've got a breakthrough. The things have worked, and you now have testimonies. How many people have been comforted by your comfort? We need to make our life count unto the Lord. So that was Abraham. Now, let's even bring it back home. Now, our pastor, you see, Pastor Tumeche said something. If you go to where Abraham, we can read the Bible, but there's nowhere to read for our pastor. So I said the history book, chapter 1. So if you go to King's Court Chapel, history book, chapter 1, let's even look at our pastor. The Pastor Tumeche, when she was speaking, she has not seen my script. And she said that Pastor Stratoshola Folalade was able to call Pastor back to come and preach. Why? Because of loyalty. Because of loyalty. So those are some of the things the Lord has put in them. Not only loyalty, even excellence. Excellence. Things have to be done excellently well. To me, that is one of the things that I'm learning from them. My wife was showing me, we have this drawer that is, one side is ours, or another side is mine. It was a brand new drawer. So we all had opportunity to start afresh. And I started by folding my clothes and everything perfectly well. And a few weeks down the line, there's perfect order in chaos. And she wondered, she said, look at your wardrobe, my mother. I said, well, whatever you are looking for, you know where it is. What I'm looking for, I know where it is. So it does not matter if you arrange it properly. But really, I have learned order and excellence in King's Court Chapel. It's because they have the grace. And that is why one of the things that I have been able to do to make my life count unto the Lord, that I was going to tell you that to make my life count, I have 16 minutes. Wow. Okay, I need to jump now. Praise the Lord. Because that's another interesting part we are getting into. Has anyone ever failed to make his life count unto the Lord? So because it's one thing for us to learn about people who have made their life count, but we can also learn. We're going to fly through this. We talked about Anani. Anani, he was in action. I mean, there's no way you can explain it. Anani went to Jerusalem and he saw that the gates were destroyed. The gates were in ruin. And Anani came back and Nehemiah, that didn't travel there, he said, how was Jerusalem? And Anani was saying, well, everything was. Jeremiah had, and he became so passionate. Anani saw and he was not passionate. Which one is more convincing? The man who saw was not even as passionate as the man who had. So that was an inaction. Then we know about Saul. Saul who went, he was in a hurry. Instead of waiting for Samuel, he made a sacrifice and he disobeyed the Lord. Disobedience, we know about Ruth. Now, Ruth is not in the category of people who didn't make their life count, but Ruth could have been if when her mother-in-law said, don't follow me, don't need to follow me, your husband are dead. But Ruth clinged to her mother-in-law. And that is why today you will never, if you read Matthew chapter 1, the last name that was not mentioned, one of the names that was not mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, was the name Ruth, but Ruth is there silently because he married Boaz and he had a son called Obed, and Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesus was the father of David, and Jesus came from the line of David as well. So because of taking an action, making our own life count for the Lord, her name became a name featured in the Bible. So now, what about you and I? Are you in the category of people who have failed to make their life count? Yes, I am the category. There are certain things I have not been able to do that I thought I should make my life to count for the Lord. But the Lord has also helped me to do many things, and I'm still tested to do more for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to. Then what do you need to do? We've talked about it. You need to uncover your purpose. You need to uncover the things that make you spark. You need to uncover your purpose for the Lord. The purpose, the reason why you are here, you need that, because you can. How do you uncover your purpose? You need to pray to the Lord of purpose, because the Lord Himself is able to reveal. Like we said, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, that for this reason, for this purpose, was the Son of Man manifested. So if there is a purpose, if God formed you, the Lord created you, then you need to say, Lord, what is it that you have formed me to do that I might make my life count unto you?
Even when it seems obvious, even when you have to do it seems obvious, you still need to make your life, you need to ask the Lord. Anyone can pray the simple prayer in Acts chapter 9, verse 8. Let's read that, Acts chapter 9, verse 8. And please, if you can put it on the screen. It's one prayer that you can pray that you are sure when the Lord answers the prayer, then you will know how to make your life count. Acts chapter 9 from verse 5 to 6. The Bible says, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Okay, is that to kick against the pricks? And he trembling and astonished said, "Lord, what would you have me do?" If you keep praying, say, "Lord, what would you have me do? What do you want me to do?" So you cannot jump into, yes, this is what I think. This is what I think I am meant to come and do. This is why I am sent to this world to make my life count. You may not get it right. You have to pray the Lord to reveal unto you. Praise the Lord. Please, let's come back to the screen. So you need to pray the Lord. Now, can we come back to the screen, please? Now, I'm going to show you some pictures again. And I'm going to show you. Now, you need to uncover the first thing that you need to pray the Lord of purpose to reveal the reason why you are here. Then you need to uncover the key materials that were put into you when you were being formed. Now, let's look at this lovely car. Now, this car is a very, very posh car, very fantastic car. I was a member of this church, gave my wife and I a ride on Sunday. I was like, you've got a great car. And my wife was trying to say, how did you get this car? We're trying to find out the car was nice. And I just kept quiet. I said, well, I think I have a different view about cars. For me, my car is something that can take me from point A to B. It doesn't matter how rickety it is. But I know I've been doing injustice to my wife because at times there are a lot of troubles she passes through for the car I drive. But this is the car I'm trying to get now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, this car has very nice interior, very beautiful car. And if you look at the engine, fantastic. But this car can never move an inch without having these very, very tiny things I'm going to show you now. Some of us may not know about the car. These are spark plugs. If you remove the spark plug from the engine of this car with the beautiful outlook, with the interior, this car would not move an inch. So this car would not fulfill the purpose for which it was made. This car, we are trying to make our life count unto the Lord. This car will not make his life count unto the BMW or whoever the manufacturer is because the spark plug is missing. So you need to uncover the key things, the key material. We talked about David. David's spark plug was he can never see somebody coming to snatch something that does not belong to them. He will never stand foreigners, neighboring cities to come and invade Israel. And snatch. There was a time he went to war, and before he came back, that was the scripture we're trying to read. They plundered Israel. Even though you had the passion that my passion is to pursue, overtake, and recover. But he exercised caution. The Bible says he inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said, that's what we're trying to say from the first one. Even though when the solution seems obvious, you need to pray. So this car will not move an inch, it will not fulfill its purpose. If the key material, the key ingredient, the things in you, so many things are in you. Maybe it's your passion. Maybe it's your voice. Maybe it's the way you talk. Somebody got a visa because of this outlook. Maybe it's just a smile. There is something you have to uncover to make your life count. Praise the Lord. So uncover key materials in you. Think of Moses without a passion for injustice. Think of David as a man with no poetry skills. How would we know? How are we going to praise the Lord in the beauty of his holiness? Think of of Paul. If Paul had no zeal, the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians may have been written by somebody else. There may never be a black U.S. president, if not because Obama had audacity of hope. Audacity to hope that I can rise, I can do it. Yes, we can. Now, Obama is not, by becoming president, I won't say he's making his life count directly unto the Lord, maybe indirectly, but we are talking about how to make your life count unto the Lord. Today, not about how to make your life count in your careers. That's fine. We need that. My life is counting in my career. God has used me to do many things while I work. But how to make your life count unto the Lord? Something that will have direct eternal value. Something that will promote the kingdom of God directly. Praise the Lord. Insight from your circumstances. We talked about that as well. Insight from your circumstances. Watch out for the lack in your life. Abraham lacked a son. So you need to trust God to open your eyes to see. David snatched the sheep back from the lion. That's another insight from circumstances. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to round up with a story. Or before I round up, the another thing I was going to talk about is, and I think I touched it briefly, is about accountability. Now, this is about how far can you go? Some of us are able to start, but we're not able to finish it. And I think I've spoken to many people that maybe in Cranfield Fellowship as well. What I'm saying now, I told them as well that I have just learned the power of accountability. Making yourself accountable to somebody. Like I said, I made myself accountable to Pastor about my business. I tell him that I'll go to him on Monday. We sit down together. We go through the action, things that I have to do, when I have to do them. And say, when we come back next time, then it is believed that all these five things that I said I was going to do, that I was going to do them. Now, if I have not had that opportunity, the next 2 weeks will come. Because I'm busy, I'm not able to do it. And guess when I do them? Sunday night, the night before. And I would never have done that if I'm not going to meet him. But because I'm going to meet him the following day, and he's going to say, we agree that you're going to do this, and you have not done it. And there were times I said, Pastor, please, can we postpone it? Because I'm telling you the truth, because I'm being human. But I realized that I have not been able to go far with the thing the Lord had given me, because there was no body that I was accountable to, that I know I have to respect. I know I have to, when we agree, I won't say, sorry, I can't make it. Because there are so many times you can say sorry. We just say sorry. I don't think you're serious. And I don't want to get to that point with him. So, and I've seen a lot of improvement, so much improvement about that particular business idea. So that is one thing. If you want to make your life count unto the Lord, it's good to know all this passion, pray, and do something, start something, prayerfully start something. But how far would you go? And one key person in the Bible was Esther. Esther became a queen. Now, she was there in the palace, and something just happened. And if Esther was not accountable to Mordecai, the whole of Israel raised, well, again, God will always raise somebody else. But it will never have been recorded that Esther was instrumental to saving Israel. Esther, Mordecai told her from the accountability session, I don't know how many times a week they did it, that if you do not make move to save Israel, hope will arise from other place. And Esther said, you know what, because this is a very, very dangerous thing. She said, you know what, I have just been counseled by the person I'm accountable to. She said, if I perish, I perish. And she went, she did, and the Lord backed her up, and there was that miracle. So you need to know. It's one thing for you to say, I'm going to start to pray the Lord. I'm going to begin to see what is my spark plug. My own spark plug is that what the Lord has given me is that when I get to a place, because I'm a contractor, and maybe that's why God made me a contractor, because I move around. So that gives me an opportunity to look for a Christian fellowship in the office place, or if there is none, for me to stand up on. That in this place, the name of the Lord must be praised. That is my spark plug. And do you know how it happened? Because I was almost forgetting this. When I first came to the UK, a friend of us said we should come to his church, or being that we didn't know what church to attend. So we went to that church, and I had this perspective, but this is UK, a very multicultural church, and everybody there, they were Afro-Caribbean, and so does that mean the Caucasians don't go to church? Then I went to another church, the following Sunday. And as I was, again, it was a Afro-Caribbean church again. And as I was coming out, I saw a pub. And in the pub, I saw a lot of people that were drinking. Oh, I was like, can't people just come together and praise the Lord? Since then, I caught a passion to reach out to people who don't go to church, who are not from our background. And I've mingled with some of them, and I realized that there's certain things that the Lord can use you to do to bring them back. England was a country that brought about gospel to Africa. But the Lord has brought us back here to come, bring the gospel back to them. Are you making your life count unto the Lord? So that was my passion. I said, Lord, then if this is the case, I want to be used to influence these people. And that's why in office where we meet, the Lord gave me that passion to start something and invite people to come and hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to finish with this story. There were two villages, the mountaineers and the low mountaineers. I don't know if you've read the story before. The mountaineers, they're the one living high up in the mountain, and the low mountaineers, they were the one living down at the mountain. And so there used to be fight and wars between these two communities. But the low mountaineers, they could not climb. But high mountaineers, for them to come down and go up, they are used to climbing and coming down. So one day they came and they plundered the low mountaineers. They see so many things. Now they took away one little child and they went up. So the low mountaineers, they went to go and hide. And after a while, they came out of their hiding. They said, I think we need to pursue these high mountaineers. We've had enough of them. And so they were looking and trying to find them. And they climbed and climbed a bit and they got tired. And they came back and said, well, they've gone. So we can't, we're not going to look for them anymore. As they were turning back, they saw one woman coming back with a child. They said, oh, where are you coming from? How did you get there? She said, because it was my child. You know what that means? Because it was a child. No matter how high the mountain was, because she had the passion, they had nothing at stake. Because it was a child. It was a mountain that none of them had been able to climb. But because of her passion to save a child, no mountain was too high to climb. How is your passion for the Lord? Let's just rise up and begin to pray. Let's rise up and begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Rise up. Begin to pray. Say, Lord, help me to make my life count unto you. Help me to live my life count unto you. That you will use me for your glory. That you will use me for your glory. It's perhaps a sober ending, but it's a call for you to look at your life and challenge yourself and ask yourself, what am I doing here? Why was I placed here? What was in the mind of the Lord when he sent me here? Begin to pray.